Bremen Farmers Mutual Insurance, providing high-quality coverage and service, all at a competitive premium cost. Since 1888, Bremen Farmers Mutual has offered homeowner, farm owner, business owner, fire, and inland marine coverage. Dependable and affordable, see your local agent representing Bremen Farmers Mutual Insurance. Learn more about the various insurance products offered by going online at bfmic.com.
At the beginning of every crop year, you get only one chance to get it right. Start your season off with a seed you can trust, Plant DeKalb AstroGrow. They have a full range of products that have proven themselves year after year. Parker Seed can provide the right seed for your environmental conditions. There's no room for error. Call Parker Seed to start your season off right. When you call Todd Parker, he'll put his knowledge and experience to work to help you make the right choices. Call today, 562-6687. That's 562-6687.
Hello and welcome aboard. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, through the Mid-America Ag Network. And welcome in to the 2024 Agricultural Outlook, once again presented by the Mid-America Ag Network. Today will be an extended segment as we outlook the upcoming year of 2024 in the world of agriculture, as I've sat down with many industry leaders, business leaders, farmers and ranchers alike, as well as many policy leaders throughout the United States. We take a look at 2024 and give our best guesses for the upcoming year, as well as reflect on 2023 and the changes that might be made year over year. Again, I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, here on this Saturday morning, as I will be navigating you through the previous year of 2023, many of the conversations that I had had, as well as the ones into 2024, as we give our best guesses for the upcoming year in the world of agriculture. So let's get started, as of course, the best guess for 2024 commodity markets will start looking ahead with ag economist and president of Ag Resource Company, Dan Bossy. Wars and weather, that's what's throwing curveballs at the commodity prices, is what he says, as he gives his best guess on what this new year will look like. Looking ahead, Bossy predicts a promising year for the agriculture industry in terms of protein.
We are looking at 2024 as being the year of protein. By that I'm saying not only milk protein, but also poultry, pork, and beef. We think that's the real story for the upcoming year. So I am encouraged that milk prices will rise, world demand staying strong, and with that, we think we can make it back for a seasonal high in 2024, somewhere between $20 and $22 a hundredweight, which would be a big advantage from where we are sitting here today.
He also went on to say that the data shows per capita grain yields worldwide have stagnated.
And we now are looking at where per capita grain yields, I'm now talking about the amount of grain that's produced per person in the world, is stagnating. That means if I don't have more grain produced, I need more acres. And we're estimating that in the next 5 years, the world needs to bring on another 24 million acres into production. It's not going to happen in the U.S. It's not going to happen in the Black Sea because of the war. Principally, it's all about South America. So I am concerned more and more on climate. Of course, we saw data just coming out here nearby that indeed September was the warmest month on record. This kind of follows the trend backwards. But the oceans, which are absorbing all of this extra heat, if you will, are now causing the jet stream to be more angular rather than zonal. By that, I'm saying we're getting stagnation in weather patterns, and that's a problem for agriculture.
He mentions one of the significant factors affecting the dairy market has been the evolving relationship between the United States and the country of China.
So if the Chinese, who have recently gone to Brazil and bought a lot of corn, of course, Brazil, they approved Brazilian corn back last December. And if you look at all the soybeans that they will be taking, China next year will take 105 million metric tons. They will become, again, a behemoth in the soybean market. And with that in mind, I believe that U.S. soybean farmers could kind of be on the short end of the stick. The good news is that we got this thing called renewable diesel and build out of crush facilities. So domestically, our markets are going to be more domesticated. And so maybe that will soften the blow a little bit. But I'd like to see the Chinese buying more U.S. soybeans. Right now, U.S. soybean sales are about 360 million bushels below last year. It just shows you that they're focusing their attention on Brazil.
And the new year of 2024, renewable diesel is poised to become a major driver of demand in the agricultural sector.
Renewable diesel is the next big demand driver in agriculture. probably will be more disruptive than ethanol. For those of us that remember the days of ethanol starting in 2006, heading up to maybe 2012 or 2013, ethanol was a big driver of the commodity markets and a big driver of corn. We think ethanol will do the same thing for tallow prices and soybean oil prices, used cooking oil prices. But there's going to be another ingredient that we're going to have too much of. It's called soybean meal. And so I do believe it'll cause soybean prices to be elevated. By that, we're saying maybe something like $11.5 to $14.5 over time, which is well above where we've been before. But in saying that, we're going to have an excessive amount of soybean meal. Works to the advantage of dairymen and other species, but somehow it's going to have to be exported at very cheap prices.
Once again, that was President of Ag Resource Company and Ag Economist Dan Bossy. And sticking on the theme of the agricultural economic outlook for 2024, looking back, 2023 was a challenging year for United States agriculture. We spoke with David Widmar, an economist with Agricultural Economic Insights, as he talks about some of the bigger stories last year in agriculture.
One of the big stories is declining net farm income. Big headline shocker there, but still historically high. So we've got to balance those two narratives. It's not been as good for all parts of the country. The Midwest and the Corn Belt have done really strong the last 3 years collectively. So 21, 22, 23 are the best three-run average that we've had since the 40s. So the best 3 years in most of our careers. Now, on the other side of the narrative, we have commodity prices that have trended lower, especially on corn the last few years. Another year of below trend line yields. And of course, interest rates. Really not necessarily the short-term rates that the Fed adjusts at their meetings, but we're really watching these long-term rates.
We went on to talk about the volatility within agriculture, as he says that will likely continue into this new 2024 year.
That's not necessarily all bad. As we talked about earlier, despite record high fertilizer prices, despite all the uncertainty around usage and demand and inflation, the farm economy had a good run between 2011 and 2023. We might see some reversion to the mean, whereas net farm incomes could again be lower, but not necessarily historically bad. We got to realize that both at the farm level and at the sector level, the last 3 years are not normal. They're not normal in terms of amount of government payments. They're not normal in terms of commodity prices or profitability. So we need to start recalibrating expectations for what's normal and what should we plan on.
We then went on to have a discussion about factors that producers might need to watch out for when making decisions ahead of the 2024 growing season.
Well, one of the things we're going to keep an eye on is acreage. There's always an acreage reallocation. And one of the things that happened in 2023, and our observation is that we had a lot of corn acres and a little bit of soybean acres, and that's resulted in this imbalance in the ending stocks. So corn ending stocks are above the long run average, closer to 15% instead of the average of 13. Soybeans are closer to 5 or 6% instead of the long run average of 8. So we need to see some acreage reallocation. So producers are going to need to keep an eye on that relative price ratio and how that's going to impact their budgets. Also keeping an eye on fertilizer expenses. Fertilizers came down a lot. That's going to really benefit corn budgets quite a bit.
Once again, that's David Widmar of Agriculture Economic Insights. And he had also mentioned for more information, you're welcome to go to their website at aei.ag. Once again, it's the 2024 Ag Outlook right here on the Mid-America Ag Network.
Planning for the future includes accounting for the present. Crop insurance protection assures that your farming operation will withstand the variabilities of weather and potential disaster. Rely on the coverage that crop insurance provides, and rely on Linda Schmitz with Linda's Insurance Agency for the experience and personal service that she offers. Call today and update your crop insurance options. That's Linda's Insurance Agency, 1507 Broadway in Marysville.
This is Thad Argenbride with Performance Ag in Waterville, your Pioneer dealer. Our vision at Performance Ag is to deliver to you the very best in seed genetics from Pioneer, along with the best in service, which includes on-site seed treatment, direct delivery, and tender use. Call me, Thad Argenbright, at 785-313-3064 and find out why, with Pioneer from Performance Ag, you get more than a bag of seed.
At Sunflower Community Credit Union, we're proud to give back to our community through initiatives like Debit for a Difference, a program that provides local educators with grants for their classrooms, which helps them make a difference in our schools, along with Save at School, an innovative way for students to learn the value of saving money. Kids can open their very own savings account, making financial education fun and accessible. Join Sunflower Community Credit Union in Marysville and become part of a financial family committed to your success and the success of our community.
Now let's shift gears here, as looking forward to 2024 and maybe the foreseeable future, it looks like AI is going to be incorporated into many different regions, including agriculture, as there's now a Senate Ag Committee looking at the potential as well as the risks of using AI. The Senate Agriculture Committee hosted a hearing on AI and innovation into American agriculture. In her opening statement, Michigan Senator and Chair Debbie Stabenow pointed to agriculture's role in technology.
American agriculture has always been at the forefront of innovation, and artificial intelligence has the potential to revolutionize the way we grow, harvest, and distribute our crops. In this rapidly evolving landscape, it is imperative that we strike a balance between harnessing the benefits AI offers while addressing the concerns it raises.
What are those concerns, you ask? It includes data privacy, workforce implications, and equitable access to the technology. Stabenow says the reality is artificial intelligence is already being integrated into your daily life.
In fact, I'm going to pause. My statement up to this point was entirely generated by AI, and it's something I would have said. So it's incredible, actually, to me.
Now, during this discussion, one of the panelists, Dr. Mason Earls with the University of California, Davis, went on to define artificial intelligence.
So put simply, an AI is a computer program that takes in one or more inputs, like an image or an audio recording or table of data, and outputs some prediction or physical action.
Earls explained the process of predicting something like an invasive weed. They would train the AI by showing examples of pictures with and without the weed and offer yes or no options, with penalties for failure. Then they repeat the process until it has a good enough performance rate. Some members of the committee were curious how far along AI is, such as this exchange that Dr. Earls had with New Mexico Senator Ben Ray Lujan.
Is there a workforce ready to fully develop and operate these technologies so that farms across the nation can fully benefit?
The workforce is probably not as there in specialty crops, for example, as it may be where we have much more manual labor. And so there's a lot more difficult types of tasks humans are doing. I think maybe we're closer on the front where we already have major penetration of mechanization. So in some of the row crops and things like that, where maybe there's less manual labor, I think that's probably the biggest differentiator in my mind of what drives readiness for the workforce.
Right. I appreciate that. And Madam Chair, I think that's just a reminder that the committee not lose sight of the human component.
Now, we all know that the human component is important. As Stabenow says, as the USDA looks into this cutting-edge technology, they must be cautious about significant risk.
Placing vast amounts of data in the hands of a few private companies could accelerate the trend of consolidation or perpetrate biases that have harmed small farmers. High costs are putting AI and precision agriculture technology out of their reach for everyone except the largest operations. We must work to ensure that its application does not force even more small and medium-sized farms out of business by ensuring that there is fair access to the benefits.
Ranking member of the committee, John Bozeman, also wants to watch for dangers. He says AI has potential, but needs to answer tough questions.
New regulations may be needed to ensure that consumers are kept safe, especially when it comes to the use of applications that handle sensitive data.
We also got to hear on how to make those laws, as Todd Jansen, president of Jansen Schroeder Agricultural Law, was on the panel and came with three legislative considerations for the committee.
I think that any policy should focus on leveling the playing field and not stifling innovation, because this is such an innovative sector. Second, when I think trust is lacking, then transparency becomes even more important. And so if anyone is collecting data and they don't have that farmer trust, they have to be extremely transparent with how they're using it. And finally, any platform that uses agricultural data should try to return an equal or greater value of that data back to the farmer in the resulting product.
Arkansas Senator John Bozeman says the United States leads the world in innovation, with a third of major tech businesses located here.
Since the beginning of the technological revolution, America exercised a light touch approach toward regulating this budding industry, while others like here took a different approach. We must determine if that approach is appropriate when it comes to regulating AI and its uses in agriculture.
We'll take a quick step aside, but don't go anywhere, as the back half of the 2024 Ag Outlook continues here through the Mid-America Ag Network.
Marysville Livestock Incorporated offers a cattle sale every Thursday. Sale time begins at noon Thursdays. Call with early consignment listings or contact their fieldmen, Jim Dollinghouse, Dave Burris, Jeff Cook, Greg Anderson, Trevor Lundberg, Taylor Schotte, Bill Kiesecker, or contact manager Bob Holly. Marysville Livestock Incorporated, featuring a cattle sale each Thursday beginning at noon.
When it comes to your pets, you want the very best. At Pony Express Vet Clinic in Marysville, your pet is our priority. We know these aren't just dogs and cats, but they are truly part of your family. So we will make sure you feel right at home in our vet clinic. We have state-of-the-art equipment such as digital x-ray, in-house blood work, and the latest and safest medications for your pet. But even more importantly, we truly care. At Pony Express Vet Clinic, your pet is our priority.
Farm Bureau of Kansas' mission is to strengthen agriculture and the lives of Kansans through advocacy, education, and service. Marshall County Farm Bureau continues to provide member benefits, including education, outreach, and support of member ag producers. Learn more at the Kansas Farm Bureau website or the Marshall County Farm Bureau Facebook page. Your membership qualifies you for generous discounts and incentives from a variety of business partners. Being a member makes a difference for Kansas agriculture. Join Farm Bureau today.
Now we'll shift our focus slightly here, as of course we'll be still talking about the agricultural economy, but we'll also be looking into U.S. ag exports, as the pace could pick up again in 2024. There may be some optimism surrounding the pace of U.S. ag's exports into this new year. We spoke with Ben Brown, an agricultural economist with the University of Missouri. He talks about the current pace of U.S. corn and soybeans exports.
We've seen kind of a rally here in the last few weeks, or I'm going to extend that into a month here, of rather solid corn and soybean export shipments and sales. Both China has been a premier buyer here as of late, one of our largest buyers. And that's positive news, I think, for both crops and our export shipments, just because that was the market that I think as we were heading into the year had the biggest question marks. You know, if it materialized, we could see some stronger demand and help us work down some supplies.
Looking to this new year, he's very optimistic that the export pace may be about to pick up.
I think there's some reasons to be a little bit more optimistic than what we maybe were a couple of months ago about U.S. export potential now, given that we could see a little bit of a break in the U.S. dollar here that helps us out a little bit on export potential. And then also South American supply is starting to dwindle. That's moving some competition, or at least making U.S. products a little bit more price competitive on the global market.
Soybean exports typically slow at the end of the calendar year. And while it was exceptionally slow at the end of last year, the pace is showing some signs of life.
Seasonally, we do usually see a peak in shipments or inspections of physical soybeans leaving the country usually in November, and then it just kind of starts dwindling all the way till March as that South American crop comes on board. This year, even though we had seen some positive sales, our soybean pace has really deteriorated. We've seen some better sales data, and that certainly has allowed us to pick up the pace a little bit on shipments. That gets us up a little bit to where we're still well behind the pace, but that's certainly helping us catch up.
Once again, that's Ben Brown of the Food and Ag Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri. Now let's talk about your soybeans as we look ahead to the upcoming growing season. One thing that we cannot predict is Mother Nature. No matter what conditions are like when you decide to plant, you need to protect your soybean seed investment. We spoke with Matt Geiger, a Syngenta Agronomic Service representative, looks back on 2023 conditions and talks about how you can help your soybeans emerge healthier and stronger in the new year.
Yeah, so the weather here was kind of a roller coaster, and it really was highly dependent on where you were at. But as a general rule, if it was in April/the first half of May, it was cool and wet. After that, it turned off dry and hot essentially until the 4th of July. And then as far as any early season diseases that were a particular threat, any year that you plant in April, which is what you want, especially for planting soybeans, there's always a risk of Pythium because Pythium thrives in those cool and wet conditions.
He says no matter what you plant, you should be vigilant at planting time.
Be ready for any weather conditions. So it could be a cool and wet conditions. If that's the case, you're going to have a threat of Pythium, and Pythium is one of those diseases that can reduce your stands early in the season. If it's warm and wet, you have a risk of Phytophthora, and that's also a disease that can kill your soybeans, reduce your stands, and reduce yield as well. But if you're on the other side of the coin, we often get the question of, do you need a seed treatment if it's hot and dry? And there's actually hot and dry diseases too, and the primary one being a disease called Rhizoctonia can limit your root mass. If it gets bad enough, it can also limit your stand establishment, can basically girdle the stems off, and you have pretty poor vigor of those plants as well. They just grow really slowly. There's also a disease called Fusarium that thrives in those dry, hot conditions as well.
Now, how do you as a grower protect their seed from yield-robbing diseases?
Choose a variety that's got good disease scores, and then you want to layer on top of that a good seed treatment. And the seed treatment that Syngenta leads with now is a product called Cruiser Max Apex. We've got fungicides in this product that protect you under all the soil conditions that I discussed. So we've got two active ingredients in that product that are going to protect you against Pythium. And one of those is actually a new mode of action with no known resistance to Pythium. So it's very potent on Pythium species. Two ingredients in Cruiser Max Apex that are effective on Phytophthora. Two active ingredients in this that's effective on Rhizoctonia as well, which is another pretty devastating disease. For vigor and insect control, we've also got a very good insecticide called Cruiser. It's a very well-rounded product that's a good formulation. And at the end of the day, really what you want to use a seed treatment for is to get faster emergence and more uniform emergence. You just want to prevent replants.
Once again, that is Matt Geiger, an agronomic service representative with Syngenta. And I'm Sam Speck, your farm broadcaster here through the Mid-America Ag Network. It is time that we take a quick step aside. Thank you once again for tuning in to the 2024 Ag Outlook presented by the Mid-America Ag Network. When we come back in just a short moment, we will continue previewing 2024 for some of the hurdles, some of the things to look forward to. And as when we come back, we will look forward as well to farm bill priorities on the other side of the break. Once again, it's the 2024 Ag Outlook right here on the Mid-America Ag Network.
Schwedeman Incorporated, your home for market information and market analysis across the Mid-America region. Based out of Garden City, Kansas, Schwedeman Incorporated can help with any of your commodity needs for buying, selling, or trading any type of agricultural commodity. Plus, hear their opening and closing market updates on the Mid-America Ag Network every single trading day and get information from corn supply demand reports, wheat and soybean supply demand reports, and so much more. Give them a call at 1-800-272-9131 or find them online at UpTheLimit.com.
More in 24 from Rusty Eckford. More selection on new and used inventory. Choose from over 500 new and used vehicles on our lot and ready to drive home today. More for your trade. More President's Award-winning sales and service experience from Rusty Eckford. Wichita's only President's Award-winning dealership, 3 years running for the best overall sales and service experience. More service options. Rusty Eckford has factory-certified technicians to care for all your auto repair needs. We can pick up and drop off your vehicle for service, and our mobile service van can come to your home or work for most routine maintenance needs. Only at Rusty Eck Ford. More zero down and low APR financing options to help you get into the new car, truck, or SUV you need. Good credit, bad credit, or no credit at all. Our finance team will help you with the best finance options available to you. At Rusty Eck Ford and RustyEckFord.com.
Absolutely unbeatable.
El Dorado Livestock Auction, 2.5 miles east of El Dorado on Highway 54. Proudly serving farmers and ranchers with weekly cattle sales each Thursday at 11 a.m. The order of sale is stock cows and bulls, followed by calves, feeder cattle, then butcher cows and bulls. The goal at El Dorado Livestock Auction is to use an honest, full-value approach that attracts the best buyers and creates a competitive market for our sellers. El Dorado Livestock Auction strives to develop a friendly, personal relationship with each customer and understand their individual business needs. You can see a full list of consignments online at eldoradolivestock.com or pick up the phone and call 316-320-3212 with any questions. El Dorado Livestock Auction, a sale every Thursday at 11 a.m. El Dorado Livestock Auction, 2.5 miles east of El Dorado on Highway 54.
You know, farmers, Kaufman Seeds sure gives you great seed choices for your farming operation. Like Kaufman Seeds Corn 662, for example. 662, it's a 113-day trifecta hybrid, excels on dry land here in central Kansas, and 662 has good roots, good stocks, excels with moderate plant populations. So, if you order now, you can receive an early order discount.
This is Dustin at Kaufman Seeds. Give us a call for all your seed needs. Call 800-634-2836. Kaufman Seeds.
Well, welcome back. And once again, you're listening to the 2024 Agricultural Outlook presented by the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck. Glad you have joined us back here once again as we outlook the upcoming year, preview, as well as look back at 2023 and see what we may have learned and what we can look forward to in 2024 from industry leaders, policy leaders, and farmers and ranchers alike. Let's get back into things. And it's not on the most positive note either, as the USDA released its farm labor survey, and it's not good news for agriculture. The USDA says farm farmers who hire H-2A laborers next year will be paying higher wages, and in some cases, the increase is very large. We spoke with Veronica Knives, senior economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation. She talks about the increasing costs of farm labor.
USDA's farm labor survey told us that wage rates across the United States in all states and all regions increased in 2023. The Farm Labor Survey tells us that in 2024, farmers in 13 states will pay more than a dollar more per hour to their H-2A employees than they did this year. Farmers in 31 states will pay between 50 cents and a dollar more. Only in six states is the increase for next year less than 50 cents.
She went on to highlight that this is a very important survey for production agriculture.
USDA's Farm Labor Survey is utilized by the Department of Labor to establish the adverse effect wage rate that growers must pay H-2A workers through the temporary visa program. So these wage rates are really make or break for farmers as to whether or not the wage rates they pay out through the H-2A program are going to be viable for their business.
As she had mentioned earlier, some regions of the country will see a larger increase in H-2A wage rates than others.
Wage rates went up in every region. The smallest increase was for the Corn Belt Region 2, where we saw wage rates rise a quarter, which was a 1.4% increase. The largest percentage increase was in Hawaii. Hawaiians are going to pay $1.49 per hour more next year through the H-2A program than they did this year.
Once again, that senior economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, Veronica Nye, commenting that farmers and ranchers will pay more for H-2A labor in this new year. And lastly, before we wrap things up, just as we started, we talked with economist with Ag Resource Company, Dan Bossi. He says there may be a bit of turnaround in the commodity markets during early 2024, but it is a presidential election year, which can throw everything in the markets up in the air. Bossi says that may not be 100% true.
I think during a presidential election year, they're not going to let commodity markets and stock markets and everything fall apart. In other words, it's not in the best interests of politicians. And so the Biden administration will keep spending and the federal debt will go up even further from the $33.6 trillion where we are today. So I do believe in the background of this, we have a falling U.S. dollar because of the large amount of U.S. debt. And with that dollar decline, every hedge fund that I have is looking for an opportunity and they want to have a little piece of commodities just because they think that they're getting priced low enough now that maybe we can get some opportunities and a bounce going forward next year.
Outside investors may consider commodities a safer bet because of geopolitical concerns that will continue this year.
Look back at what's going on in our markets. The money has been leaving agriculture since May of 2022. And so this has been a decline that goes back to not having speculative money. And it's in dairy, it's in crops, it's in everything. And so that's why I said I'm trying to watch the money. And I think there's going to be somewhat of an inflow in the first quarter of next year.
Just like many others, he says you can't forget about the weather challenges.
But I also want to highlight maybe the weather concerns that are happening. And so if you think about Brazil, it's not in a good spot right now weather-wise. Brazil is the reason U.S. crop exports are down. As we look at China, of course, it came out of COVID. We were hoping for more of a recovery than what we saw, but they're now starting to stimulate their economy. So there's some things happening. I mean, I'm pessimistic on net farm income because of high costs. I think we maybe lose another 3 or 4% in 2024, but it's not because of the markets going down. I think a lot of that has happened already.
Once again, from Ag Resource, that is Dan Bossi. And I'm Sam Speck, your farm broadcaster here through the Mid-America Ag Network. Once again, extending our thank you to all of the listeners out there for being a part of our 2024 Agricultural Outlook, as once again we look ahead to this new 2024 year in the world of agriculture. And thanks again to our affiliates as well for carrying this program here today. Have a great 2024, and we'll catch you next time through the Mid-America Ag Network.